John Haruna, who is in Nigeria at the moment, he says, I always know when you're speaking, Nick, because you always have, I always see the laptop there at the front. But this is old style today. I got back from Lisbon late last night, where I've been trying to help my son through a tricky situation. And I didn't have time to put everything on the overhead. But the good news is we have this book, this wonderful book, the Holy Bible, yes? And the verses are going to be up there. And I'm going to tell you a story this morning. Everybody like a story? Okay, fantastic. Good. Let's pray, shall we? Just help you into the right frame of mind. Let's all stand just for a moment. Let's just take a moment to just quieten our hearts. Just think, what am I here for? We want to hear from God this morning. Possibly you've already heard from God, but we want to go on hearing from him. Lord, we come to you this morning in humility, recognizing that we are nothing and that we can do nothing without you, Lord. But thanking you that you want to give us everything that we need to do your will. And we look to you this morning to open our hearts, to open our eyes, to open our understanding, Lord, that we might receive your grace today. We don't want to just receive information from you, Lord. We want to receive you. We want to know you. We want to experience you in a new way. Lord, you know what's going on in our lives, each one of us. Nobody else knows that. Only you know what's going on in our minds and in our hearts today. Jesus, we pray, would you come? Would you come in? We know you're knocking at the door of our hearts. We're saying, yes, Lord. Come in. Come on in, Lord. Help us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. It's great to be here. I feel I left late. I ran to the airport after ECOS last time, 2 weeks ago, and I'm back for ECOS today. I feel like I've been in a kind of time warp, kind of Doctor Who style, and I've arrived back and I'm kind of in the same place. But it's great to be here. It's great to have God, you know? I just pity people who have to go through life without God. You know, many times in life there are situations we can't handle, but God, you know, we have him. We have him, and he wants to help us. That's good to know, isn't it? He is our helper. How amazing that Almighty God who created the very ground on which we stand, the air that we breathe, the lungs in which we take in, the oxygen of today, our very beings, wants to be our helper. That's an amazing thing, really, isn't it? That he would lower himself to our level and say, Nick, I want to help you. I want to help you. And I think one of the biggest crimes that we commit is that we don't let him help us. The greatest act of humility, in a way, is saying, God, I need your help. So in our hearts today, think of the things that God wants to do for you, because he is more willing to give than we are to receive. I want to talk this morning about a place that I've got to know quite well over the years. It's actually God's address, and it's called Wits End Corner. For those of you that aren't familiar with the English language, Wits End Corner is a phrase that means I've come to the end of my own resources. I can't work this out. This is too difficult for me. Anyone identify with that? It's actually a good place to be if we make the right choice. And I want to just speak a little bit about King Jehoshaphat. Great name, that. I don't know whether he was fat or thin, but we like his name, King Jehoshaphat. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read this incredible story, this miraculous story, where Jehoshaphat, who was a spiritual man, he was in tune with God, he knew God, and he had led Israel to be a spiritual people who reached out and cried out to God. Jehoshaphat, before chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, had messed up. He was a good man. good people mess up. I mess up. We all mess up, don't we? And what Jehoshaphat had done was that King Ahab had gone into, he was being attacked by the people, I think, of Ramoth Gilead. And this vast army had come against the king of Israel. And so we're talking about the king of Judah. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. If you don't know the story, Israel and Judah had been split, and they were no longer friends. They were often enemies. But King Ahab, who is the bad King Ahab, had come to good King Jehoshaphat of Judah and said, look, we're brothers, you know? Let's help each other. And so Jehoshaphat, who's a generous man, said, fine, I'll come and help you. And in that battle, which he shouldn't have gone into, he didn't consult God. He didn't inquire of God. It was a defeat, and he just escaped with his life, and the king of Israel was fatally wounded and died. And as Jehoshaphat came back with his life intact, a prophet met him in 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 2. Jehu, the seer, that means somebody who sees things in the spiritual realm, the son of Hanani, went out to meet him and said to the king, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is on you. There is, however, some good in you. For you have rid the land of the Asherah poles and have set your heart on seeking God. How lovely. God recognized there was good in him. And I think, you know, that God knows what's good in us as well as what is independent. But he had acted independently of God. He had not inquired of God. He hadn't asked him about it. That was his sin. So, an enemy now comes against the kingdom of Judah. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Munites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in En-Gedi. Wow, this huge army had come. And the response of Jehoshaphat, it says, and he was alarmed. Have you had any alarming situations recently that have like shaken you up and thought, wow, this is too big, I can't deal with this? Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He didn't make the same mistake twice. This time he inquired of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. The Bible says that if we are to be revived, we have to humble ourselves and pray and seek God and turn from our wicked ways, those four things. The first thing is we have to humble ourselves. We are an independent people, aren't we? Particularly our society, it teaches and preaches independence to our children all the way through the self-made person. But it's anathema to God, because he's our helper and he wants to help us entirely. He wants to help us by forgiving our sins and bringing us into a relationship with himself that we cannot do ourselves. And he sends the helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us with joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and love and his very nature. He wants to help us with those things when we lack them. He is the helper. When Jesus went to heaven, he said, it's a good thing I go, because I'm sending somebody else, and he is the helper. He's coming to help you. And so this time, it says the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, in my Bible, the New International Version, it actually entitles this section. It's not this version. The English Standard Version, it says Jehoshaphat's Prayer. That's what this chapter is all about, Jehoshaphat's prayer. And these prayers are in the Bible so that we can pray them and we can learn from them. And if you don't know how to pray or you're finding it difficult to pray, get one of these prayers in the Old Testament or in the New Testament and start to pray them. In fact, even today, you know, tomorrow morning, if you're finding it hard to pray, come back to 2 Chronicles 20 and pray Jehoshaphat's prayer, because it's powerful and it's effective. So Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, and this is what he said when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. It starts, "Our Father who is in heaven, your name is holy." It starts with a magnification of God's name and his nature and his character and who he is. There is no better way of lifting us out of our situation and into faith where we can believe than actually focusing on God. Some people I talk to, and I've been in the same situation myself, when they're in a mental rut. They are so ingrained in their situation. They're so involved in the thing that they fear. Maybe it's gone on for so long. It's been so difficult. And they're just stuck in their thoughts. Now, you know, we can't easily stop thinking about something. But we can lift our eyes onto something else. We can think about something else. And as Christians, we have this incredible privilege that we can meditate on God's word. How wonderful that we don't have to think about, the good things that are happening tomorrow, because maybe they won't be so good. But we can meditate on God's word and his promises and his greatness and his power and who he is. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He's faced by this incredible problem, this vast army that he knows he cannot defeat them. I think one of the significant moments for me of this year was when the Reverend Corinne Brixton, our old friend Corinne, came to speak, and she talked about the IMAX cinema. Do you remember that talk? You know, where the screen is often filled, so filled, an enormous screen that all we can see is the problem. It's happened to me so many times. And hopefully somewhere in a little corner of the screen is God. But we've got to get God bigger. So we have to meditate on him. We have to read about him. We have to discipline our minds. We have to think about him. We have to lift up our eyes onto God. And this chapter of 2 Chronicles will help you with that. So this is what he said. In the face of that massive IMAX screen, and all he could see on the screen alarmed him and troubled him. What's your situation? What's alarming you? Here's something else to think about. Lord, he said, Lord, Jehovah, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Lift up our eyes. This is our God. Lord, Lord. Whenever you see, Lord, this is verse 6, yeah, and he said, Lord, whenever you see that capital L-O-R-D, that is always Jehovah. That's what it's translating, or Yahweh, or Jehovah. Nobody really knows quite how to pronounce that word, but let's, for the sake of convenience, say Jehovah, Jehovah. That word means I am. God is. God didn't start using that name until he got personal. First of all, his name in the Bible was Elohim, and that's where you have capital G, little O, little D, God. That's always Elohim, and that's God the Creator. That comes second in this chapter, but first Jehovah. And God doesn't use that until he's creating Adam and Eve. It's like his personal name, Jehovah. And it means I am. It means I am now. It means all that God was from eternity. I am that I am before Abraham was. I am. He is the self-existent one. He is the one who has always been. He is the one who will always be. He is now. And that word Jehovah brings all that God is into the present tense and into my life now. Jehovah, the personal name of God. So when we say, oh, Jehovah, Jehovah, oh God, it's a wonderful name. So he starts with that, Jehovah. You are the Elohim of our ancestors. You are the creative God. In the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God. It's a plural word. It actually is sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes translated gods, because it is this three-in-one God, this God that is community as well as individual, this God who it's used of him in creation, the God who has incredible creative power, who made the heavens and the earth, God. But he's the God of our fathers as well, because God is a covenant-making God. And God has made an agreement with us through Jesus. If we belong to Jesus, we belong to God. If we belong to Jesus and have him in our heart, we are in the family of Jehovah. We are in the family of Elohim, the God of our ancestors. He looked back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're their God. And everything you did for them, you can do for me, because I am in a covenant with you also. Are you not the God who is in heaven? Who saw the lightning last night? I was so tired last night. I just saw one flash of lightning and went fast asleep. But other people enjoyed the light show. Who saw the whole of the thing? Everybody that saw it said it was incredible. You know, the Bible talks about the lightning and the thunder as a reminder of God's power. He gave us creation. He gave us the weather to speak about himself. The sun is a picture of the fact that God is always there. The sun is always there. It may be nighttime, but the sun is there. It may be cloudy at about whatever it was, 4 or 5, 6 o'clock yesterday. I was sitting next to some Brazilians in the plane, and they were desperately looking out to see if they could see little England as we came down in the plane at Luton Airport. And they couldn't see anything because of the clouds. And sometimes there are clouds in our lives and we can't see anything, can we? But the sun is there. And the sun is a picture of the consistency and the faithfulness of Almighty God, who is always there. You are God who is in heaven, and you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them through fear of what is happening in the world. And there are many people who are very afraid of what is happening in the world today. I am not afraid. I'll be honest with you. I'm just not afraid, because I know that God is in control. I was saying to Paul and I, we were discussing the last fortnight and how it had been in our lives before the meeting. And I just said to Paul, I'm glad I believe in the sovereignty of God, because I know that everything that comes into my life, God has allowed. And the sun is still shining, and the sun will come. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The sun will rise upon us again. And this sun, the God of the heavens, gives us hope. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. You rule over Donald Trump. You rule over Kim, whatever his name is. You rule over all the different possibilities of things that could go terribly wrong in the world. You rule over all the kingdoms of the earth. This is what Jehoshaphat believed. And he really believed it, because this wasn't theory to him, because there was a great army coming against him. And he goes to God and says, God, I believe in you. You're the God of the heavens, and you rule over all the kingdoms of the earth. This mighty army that is coming against you, I believe that you rule over this army. In the light of that, his fears begin to subside. Power and might are in your hand. The God who can just switch on the lightning show. The God who can cause an earthquake or a volcano to explode. The God who can shake the heavens and the earth. The God who created the galaxies. Who else did? Nobody else did. Only God created them. He is so vast. He is so great. And as Jehoshaphat lay in his bed at night looking up at the stars, he would say, "Oh God, you are the God of the heavens, and you rule over all the kingdoms of the earth." And power, ability. You know this word, power in the New Testament, the Greek word apparently is dunamis, and it means ability. You feel you have no ability. You know, one of the most depressing things in life is to have no hope, and that's the thing that we have. There is always hope as a Christian. The Bible says, "I give you a future and a hope." So we never have to be hopeless people. We don't have to be depressed by having no hope, because there is always hope. The most hopeless situation, the most hopeless person, there is hope. There have been terrible people in the Bible who have been forgiven by God, much worse than any of us and any of the people probably that we know. There is hope always with God. Another thing that is depressing is when we feel we have no ability. I don't know how, I cannot cope with this situation. That's a depressing thought, isn't it? I'm going tomorrow morning into a work situation and I do not know how to cope with this. I've got this family situation that's been going on for many years and I do not know if I can cope with this any longer. That sense that we cannot deal with it, we cannot cope. But God says, the Bible says, that God equips us with every good thing to do his will. If he has a will for you, he will equip you to do his will. He doesn't expect you to rely on your independence and your intelligence and your knowledge or your ability, or you can take the credit for it. He wants to take the credit by giving you the power to do that thing. Power and might are in your hand. And no one can withstand you. No one. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not height, nor depth, nor things in the past, or things in the present, or things in the future. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. No one can withstand you. The devil is powerful. We know that in the Bible. He is to be respected but not admired. But God leads me to the tower that is higher than I. God dwells so far, far, far above the devil. There's no comparison. Some people think it's like an equal fight between God and the devil. It's nothing of the sort. God is so exceedingly great that in the end, the devil can only, in one sense, function under the sovereignty of God. It's good to remember that, isn't it? No one can withstand you. And then he talks about what God did. And sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of what God has done in our lives. Who can tell me something good that God did for you this week? Anyone got a something? I'm not going to ask you to, yeah, David? Healing you. Fantastic. Anybody else? Did not God, yeah?
Yeah, the Lord answered my prayers and the prayers of, like, my sisters who had been praying. My sister had to have an operation and she had a biopsy and it's all clear. She is cancer free. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And that's a story that Sandra can repeat back to God in the future. It says, he starts reciting. He said, "God, did you not do this? Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" How nice to throw that in about Abraham, isn't it? "They've lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress.'" And here he starts reciting what Solomon got God to agree to, that if they turned to the temple and prayed, God would hear their prayer. So he recites the good things that God has done in the past. He recites the promises of God. And then he starts to tell God what his problem is. Philippians 4:6. Have we got that, Bob? Philippians 4:6. "I know you can do it." Look at that. Quick as lightning. "Do not be anxious about anything." Any people use the Bible app? that gives you a verse every morning. Did you read it this morning? It was this one. Yeah? Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat is doing here. He tells God all about it. Now, God already knows about it, but he still tells him about it. God, can you see what's happening here? And then he gets a bit, he gets full of determination. Verse 11, it says, they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of your possession. Look at these people. What cheek. You see, as he's done this, he's become full of faith. This last week, I've had a difficult situation where I've just been trying to help somebody through a tough situation. And in some ways, I felt quite powerless. But I knew all the time I had God. And we had early mornings and late nights and a lot of pain. But God was so good. God was so good. It says here, so what happened? About halfway through this, I was feeling very tired, and the person is my son, actually, and he had gone out for a bit, and so I thought, I finally got some time to myself. So I was so desperate to pray, and so I started to read this story, this Jehoshaphat story, and I got so charged up by it. I also began to meditate on the word Elohim, and I found a fantastic, I think, Ghanaian or Nigerian chorus, which it starts Elohim, and it magnifies the name of God, and I sang it. And I just felt such faith in my heart as I began to praise God for who he is. And I got quite aggressive in my prayer. I don't often get aggressive in my prayer, but I was marching around the flat, laying my hands on the walls and on the ceiling. I knelt down on the floor. I laid my hands on the floor, and I was proclaiming the name of God and the victory of Jesus, because I had a revelation of who he was, this thought that God was Elohim and nothing could withstand him was an amazing thing to me. So this was very real to me this week. We haven't got much time left, but I want to just actually tell you what happened now. So Jehoshaphat gets the people to pray, and then a prophet stands up in the congregation and says cries out in front of all the people. It says the whole of Judah were there. Must have been an enormous crowd, including the children. They were all there seeking God. And then this unknown prophet, or this unknown guy, gets up. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them." And you see, God wants us to stand up on the inside. He doesn't want us to cave in. He doesn't want us to bow down to our enemies. We still have to stand up on the inside. But much better that we stand up in God, isn't it? And he will cause us to stand up as we meditate on him and praise him. And so he says, "Don't be afraid of this army. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel." How wonderful to have this information. God wants to guide us. I've just found this year, if you ask me one thing that I've found amazing about God, is his guidance. That when we really start to inquire of him, we really start to ask him about everything. It's amazing how he guides us. I had to do a transaction in Portugal this week, and we prayed about it, and we said, "God, protect us, deliver us from evil. And if you don't want this thing to happen, then don't let it happen." So I was in I arrived in the solicitor's office, and the documents were there. And we knew that, you know, we needed God to protect us. And just then, it was to do with a little property that we wanted to get to help out my son in Lisbon. And we're in the office. I'm in the office with this guy, and the phone rings. And the owner says, "I'm sorry, I don't want to sell it anymore." Right there and then, in such a way that we just knew it was God, because the timing was so extraordinary. You know, it's so real, this, when we ask God to guide us in our lives. It says, "I will guide you with my eye upon you." He leads us in such a personal way. If we will bother to ask him about things, you'll find that he leads in an extraordinary way. And we believe that he's leading us to something better, because he always does. He always does. In my experience, God always takes away something and gives you something better in return. He is a good God. So they had to go down and face this army. So what did they do? He consulted the people, and they decided that they were going to send out the singers, right? So they got them together. Many of you will know this story. It's let's carry on in verse 17. "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm. That's our job. See the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." So he bowed down, the spiritual man. This is the word worship in the Old Testament. It means to bow down with your face to the ground. That's what worship is. And this is what he did. He bowed down with his face to the ground. "And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa with a spring in their step. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful.' And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.'" The end of the story is that as they began to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments, and these armies who'd come together against Israel started to fight each other with a vengeance that they wanted to destroy each other. And they were so rich, this army, that when Israel went out to collect all the spoil from them killing each other, it took them 4 days to collect all that stuff together, because God is a mighty God. A mighty God. It was a mighty deliverance. But would this have happened if they hadn't inquired of the Lord? I'm going to finish there now. And I want you to just think for a minute about your situation. Your situation. What is filling your IMAX screen? It's got to be something, hasn't it? We all have challenges all the time. Sometimes I wonder where the next challenge is coming from. Sometimes it's a challenge for me personally. Sometimes it's actually a challenge for somebody you care about. And that becomes just as much of a trial, and we want to find the solution. But you know what Jehoshaphat said? He said in verse 12, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Remember that. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I don't know whether you've got a situation that's very difficult and you do not know what to do. You're at wit's end corner. It's filling your IMAX screen and it's making you tremble inside. This is an encouraging story, isn't it? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So let's pray. Johnny, are you? Yeah. It would be nice to sing something that we could really magnify the Lord. Could you? You got something up your sleeve? Maybe one of those ones we sung earlier. I just want an opportunity for us to really, really fix our eyes on him. Not on ourselves, but on him, his holiness, his greatness. But just while the musicians are tuning up, let's stand and pray, shall we? Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Father, we thank you that you are the God of Jehoshaphat, that you are the friend of Abraham, that you are the father of Isaac and Jacob, that you are the God of Elijah, that you are the God of Moses, that you are the God of our fathers, that you are the God of every person in the Old Testament that found you in such a wonderful way. And Father, we thank you that we have a covenant with you through Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can sing this song, give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love, his hesed, his covenant love, his faithful love, his promised love, which is new every morning, is towards us, Lord. We thank you. Your steadfast covenant love endures forever and is towards us, Lord. And Father, we want to just spread these things out before you, these things that are filling the screen of our lives, the things that trouble us, the things that worry us, the guilt, the anxiety, the feeling of inability, the distress, the heartbreak. Oh, you are a good God. You are a good God. Thank you, Lord. Your word says that you are near the brokenhearted. You are near the brokenhearted, and that you are near those that call upon your name. And this morning, Father, we come to you. And we are calling upon the name of Jehovah. We are calling upon the name of Elohim. We are calling upon the name of the God of the heavens, of the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth, before whom no one can stand. We are here to call upon the name of Jesus, who lived and died and was raised from the dead for us, and who is seated in the heavenly places far above all principality and power and dominion and might and every name that is named. The name of Jesus, that almighty, precious, and wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that there is victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. Because he sought us and he bought us and he washed us in his blood. There is victory in Jesus. Thank you that nothing can withstand the name of Jesus. The demons tremble at that name. As we call upon the name of Jesus, as we hide in the rock that is higher than us, Jesus, we run to you. We come to you in desperation, Lord, in humility, in plain need. You are our helper. You are our helper. We call on the name of Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord. Father, in each of these situations that we brought to you today, Lord, we together, like the children of Israel, the mothers, the fathers, the old men, the old women, the young men and the children, they were before you. And we are before you, holding up each other in prayer today, asking that for each of these things, Jesus, our eyes are upon you, Lord. We are looking to Jesus. We are looking to you. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. God heals the lame. When we're stumbling along, we're making some progress, but not very easy. We feel that we're just limping along. As there are a lot of lame people in Lisbon. Must be the hills. Lord, we thank you that you heal the lame. Father, where we've been struggling and limping along, Father, we pray, give us strength. Bring strength to the weary. Bring strength to our minds. Bring strength to our hearts. Bring strength to our bodies, Lord. We look to you, Lord. We want to lean on you. You're our walking stick, Lord. You're our crutch, Lord. And we're not ashamed to say We lean on you, Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God.
Fantastic. Let's pray. It'd be good to pray for ourselves this morning, that God would do something in my heart, God would do something in your heart. So let's pray. Let's put our hands on our hearts, and let's pray for each of us, pray for ourselves, that God would encourage us, build us, strengthen us, speak to us, work in us, work through us, because today is the day that God has made. This is the day the Lord has made. And God has things for us today. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing mercy, which is new every morning. And thank you that today is this new day and you have new things for us. I'm asking, Lord, that you would work in my heart. You'd work in each of our hearts. Lord, that you would speak fresh words of life. Would you use us today to worship, bless you, thank you. Use us to bless each other. Use us to be a blessing, that we offer ourselves freshly into your hands today. Invite you, Holy Spirit, please come and work amongst us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Help us to love you. Help us to draw close to you. Jesus, would you come this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Young people, babies are all going to make a move in just a moment. But before they do, a couple of things. Just to mention about the children youth camp. It's fully booked now, and there's not a bed to be had. It's totally booked. And so, if you've booked, Joe would love some money, not personally, but to pay for the place and the form, the medical forms. And if you'd like to sponsor a child, sponsor a teenager who can't afford to pay the full amount, then again see Joe. The sponsorship forms over on the over there on the information point. Fantastic. Now after today there is ECOS. Sarah, come and tell us about ECOS.
Good morning. Today is an ECOS Sunday. I'm sure everyone knows what it stands for by now, but just in case, English Conversation on Sundays. I think there's probably a few people away, helpers away this weekend because it's half term. So if you'd like to come and help, that would be much appreciated. We have a lot of fun in ECOS. It's really interesting to speak to someone from another country, find out about, you know, their lives and, you know, traditions and things they do at home. So it's not just giving, it's receiving as well. So, yeah, do come along if you can help. Thank you.
It's 1 o'clock in the GGA room. And so if you're not quite sure where that is, see Sarah after the meeting. That's today. Now, just advertising a special weekend we've got. Not next weekend, not the weekend coming up, but the weekend after, the weekend 9th and 10th. So a week, not next week, but the week after. So 2 weekends time. Special weekend, it's a Fleet Festival. And for a number of years now, we've worked with other churches in the area, put on a special weekend. On the Saturday, we take over Kentish Town Library and we host a whole series of events. So there's going to be some family photo portraits being done. Bob and Vicky organising that. There's also going to be some kids' crafts. There's also going to be opportunity to advertise the whole weekend. The little leaflets that have been handing around, you'll see there's lots and lots and lots of events all up and down Kentish Town High Street on that day. And so it's a great fun thing to come and help at and to participate in. I want to ask this morning if each person could think about giving a hand on either the morning from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock or the afternoon from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock at the library. There's lots of different jobs to do. Jobs for all kinds of people. There's helping with the children, helping with the photos. There's handing out leaflets. There's handing out cakes. There's handing out balloons. There's greeting people when they arrive in the library. There's hosting that. There's lots of different things. There's administrative things and there's people things. So lots of different jobs. And it's just a great way, in a very easy way, either 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock or 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock at Kentish Town Library. It's right by Kentish Town Tube Station, the library. And it's just a great way of advertising that God is good and that as churches, we together. See, some people think that churches, why are there so many different kind of denominations? There's so many different types of churches. Actually, it's wonderful to come together, all different kinds of churches, and recognize we're just one church. We're God's church. And we might meet in different congregations, but we're together and we can do things together. And so we're meeting on that Saturday to do these different activities, but then on the Sunday we're not going to be meeting here. That's Sunday the 10th of June we're meeting at St. Luke's. And so again, the map's on your information sheet, the map's on these little leaflets here. It's not far from here, it's a short distance from here. So that's going to be on the 10th of June, just that one Sunday. We're not meeting here, we're meeting together with Chalk Farm Baptist Church, with Revelation Church, with St. Luke's, Kentish Town, four of us churches together. And there's a barbecue afterwards, a free barbecue, free food afterwards, with vegetarian stuff as well. And that's going to be for the visitors, going to be for us. And so, yeah, it's going to be a nice time to celebrate together and then eat some food together. Fantastic. I think that's it. Okay, so if you brought children for the first time, we just want to take them over to the information point. We'll show you where they're going to go. Babies, children, young people, now's the time to make your move.